Wednesday, April 30th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. In today's message, we continue our study in Matthew chapter 10 on the division the gospel can bring between people, even between members of the same household.
The whole world is divided and separated from God. They're alienated. They're enmity with God. Here's what Christ is saying. If I didn't bring division, no one would be saved. My very ministry, the one that I'm sending you on, is separating out sheep to myself. What do you think that will bring from those who hate the family of the Lord? Division.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
He got this right from Christ, the apostles. Paul dealt with all the time when he constructed pastors. We are not as so many peddling the word of God, but with an open statement, open commendation of the truth, we preach to every man's conscience. We are trying to be clear. We are trying to be direct. We're giving the whole counsel of God, and we're not living in fear of men. How many times have pastors faced people in the church who tried to control the pastor's message? The wealthy. This is all in the history of the church. Speak the whole counsel. Do not live in these fears. And then second, do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So there's kind of the heart of this, I believe, that he is saying to his apostles, I want the fear of the Lord to drive you. Not fear of judgment, but that not the fear of men. A fear that says, we're worthy. He has made us worthy servants to announce the gospel. And he's the one who's king. He's the one who holds everyone's life in his hand. And he determines destinies. This is why Paul said, I do not persuade men. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I seek to please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. I don't want you fearing men in your decisions and in your messages. You give open proclamation of truth. You do it with compassion. There are so many temptations to shrink back the effectiveness of what is being said because we just want to be diplomatic and we want to try to have people like us. God doesn't bless ministries like that. There's one to fear. Here's the reality. They can only destroy your bodies if they don't like it. If you fear men, you're not fearing God who has the power to destroy. He's talking about eternal destruction, body and soul in hell. I think that principle's lost today. I think that's one of the most important principles that makes any of us who go into ministry should make us fear and tremble. There's a healthy fear of God, a right fear of God, one of reverence, one of awe, who we're serving. Knowing that his son was so hated, he was put on a cross. And why? Because he spoke truth. Do you hate me because I spoke truth, said Jesus? You're counted worthy. Fear God, not men. Number three, third directive. Then he speaks to them tenderly, doesn't he? As if saying, I know, I don't think this of you when you face hardship. Remember, you're my children. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. You're worth more than them. Your very hairs are numbered. Remember this in ministry. This is for you too. But this is a real encouragement for sent servants. This was a real encouragement for them. In all the opposition, it's easy to think that God is not for us and that God has forgotten us. Like Elijah hiding in the cave after Jezebel came after him. And Ahab, what are you doing here, Elijah? He wants all those servants, and this includes you, to know that you're loved and you're cared for by the Lord. That's what matters. That's what matters. He's watching over the hairs of your head. He cares about you. He loves you that much. There's no reason to fear men. They have no power over you. They don't even have a power over a hair of your head. That's what he's saying. They don't have a power unless it's granted to them. That's how much he cares for us. That's how much I love my servants. You're way more valuable than sparrows who don't even fall down out of the sky and die apart from his will, and they're sold for pennies. You think you're made in the image of God and not worth much more? Finally, he gives one more directive. Then it goes like this. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. What he's saying is so beautiful here. I'd never thought about this before, but he's saying something to encourage servants. He's saying it to encourage them. I don't want you to go out and just be vocal transmitters. Meaning, you're not just voice boxes. You're not just robots. In your service, I want you to confess me. I want you to confess me as pastors from the heart. Romans 10, if you confess with the mouth and believe in the heart, you'll be saved. Meaning, I want the ministry to come from your hearts. Confess me to people. Have your heart in it. You can do ministry. You can try to be a Christian without ever confessing him. That doesn't work. You can do church. You can play the game without ever confessing him. You can do a lot of religious stuff without ever confessing him. You can do all the forms and keep all the principles and follow all the things and have not love and you're nothing. You must confess him. Tell people about him because it radiates from you. All that he's done for you. Any pastor knows it's easy just to give information. He's Lord. He's King. The King came and died for us. He's the Lord and ruler over all. He's been highly exalted. He's raised. And the encouragement here is that the testimony comes from the heart. What an encouragement to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Give the message. Live in the Lord's fear. Know you're loved. Confess him from the heart. You will be honored. What a calling for servants and what a calling for you. All this applies. Now, here's where it all gets put to the test. Sounds good, doesn't it? What will be the area of greatest struggle in ministry? Where is all of that, what I just said, going to be put to the test? Where? What arena? What is singled out here as one of the greatest challenges of ministry? What arena of opposition will we find to be the fiercest? And here we come to something utterly shocking. It's Jesus' great caution in ministry. Here it is. This is verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Sword means division here. When the disciples and apostles heard that, it must have been shocking. Aren't you the Prince of Peace? We just read that the intention earlier is when a household, he comes to, if they will receive you and they're worthy, let peace fall on that household. And here we have Jesus seeming to say, I've come to bring something different. The shock should be when we hear this is that there can be any peace with God. The whole world is divided and separated from God. They're alienated. They're enmity with God. Here's what Christ is saying. Now, this is really important for ministry. If I didn't bring division, no one would be saved. My very ministry, the one that I'm sending you on, is separating out sheep to myself. What do you think that will bring from those who hate the family of the Lord? Division. So he explains the difficult aspect of ministry for them. Where will the division occur? What will happen? I have come, listen carefully. I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be those of his own household. And do you know right now I'm tested with wanting to downplay this and soften this as a minister? Because I know it's striking. Remember what I said last time. Christ is saving people and peace has come to them. The gospel is so powerful that it breaks the strongest bonds in this life that often, think about this, are set into a secondary position. Family and blood are often number one before anything else. It's family, it's blood. We stick to family. And Jesus says, my gospel will shatter that. I'm in the business of creating a new family, not of blood, of all these different peoples in the earth, together as one family of God. My household, he says here, not of blood. This was the very problem of the Jews. Everything was blood. The extent of their religion was merely cultural. It was tied to the family. And as good as a blessing family is, it's never put before the Lord. And when the Lord does a work in someone's life, loyalties change. Not in terms of us not honoring family or parents, but that the Lord becomes number one. And a great separation, Jesus says, is often going to occur. A great division in the family. This happened right at the beginning. What is the first record after the fall? Two brothers killing, one brother killing the other, Cain and Abel. Division between one church and another will happen. There will be division, says Jesus, between one church and another. There will be between family and brother and another, one family and another. There will be family division. You can expect it. That will be one of your most fierce challenges to ministry because those loyalties are strong. As has been noticed here, notice carefully, a mother, because of her faith, is being opposed by her daughter and her daughter-in-law. A believing father is being opposed by his son. I said last time, I don't know any pastor who's not dealt with this in ministry. It's as if Jesus is saying, you need to understand in your ministering, you're calling people to a choice in this matter. Verse 37. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's why it matters. How many people involved in the kingdom and the church only because they are there because of their parents? It's exactly what he's talking about. How many leave the kingdom of God and the church because of their children? How much conflict and enmity have we seen and hatred has resulted by those who hate the strong faith of their family members and ridicule it? How much have we seen people here only in the church to honor father and mother, but their heart's not here? This is exactly what Jesus is going after. It cuts. That's where the division comes. I will break all that up at some point. I will rattle that up at some point. The Word combats this and it sets people free. It's a great privilege to follow me, says Jesus. Notice that. You worthy to follow me. We honor our parents, but our loyalties are to the Lord first. It was like one of our seminary students who I was just told last week by one of our deacons. He was here and he said his father in China, when he found out he was a Christian, disowned him. One of the most difficult things he had ever lived. And he said, I'd choose Christ 100 times before my dad. That's what happens. This is where the division comes. The gospel's stronger. And it exposes. Stronger than blood. And Jesus comes up and says, give them a serious call to cross-bearing. Whoever does not take up his cross is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, being willing to follow me, will find it. You have to be willing to, in the ministry, to suffer. As you go out, you have to be willing to take on the beatings and the loss and the pain and the shame and the hatred. But then he gives them, to close this out, a great consolation. It's so beautiful. He wants to explain to them that it won't always be like this. This is such a beautiful thing to close on. I'm going to reward a lot of servants who receive the ministry. Did you see this? I want you to know there are going to be many who receive the ministry. And I want you to know, and I want you to tell them I'm going to reward them. You tell them I'm going to reward them greatly. Verse 40, whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The ministry that Christ commissions is his ministry. And it brings these divisions. But in those who receive it, in those who receive the gospel ministry with joy, in those who cherish the gospel ministry, are receiving Christ himself. He says that's just as if they received me. And it means then that they've received the Father too, who sent me. That's how important gospel ministry is. It's his ministry. He's speaking. He says this all over the place. We just treat this so casually. We come and go. Oh, I don't want to go to church tonight. Are you receiving the voice of Christ? That will be rewarded greatly, says Jesus. I'm going to reward that. What an encouragement. When a prophet is sent, think of all the history where prophets were rejected and prophets were received. When a prophet is sent, think about it, that person who receives the prophet will get the very reward of the prophet. That's kind of a new covenant promise here. It's beautiful. When a righteous person is received, that person will receive the same reward as that of the righteous person. What he's saying is, well, when someone gives a cup of cold water, notice this, because he's a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Jesus is an encouragement here, is to say, tell them to receive the ministry. They will be greatly rewarded. And you will be greatly encouraged. Sometimes people come up and they say, how can we encourage the pastor? And I say, the mere fact that you would ask that question, you already have. Because you care. And do you know how you encourage a pastor more than ever in the ministry? You don't have to do much. You just have to receive God's word and with joy. As it is, the Word of God. You encourage us when you say, I wouldn't miss worship because God's Word's being given to me. But the attitude of, I have to go to church tonight. Is this Sabbath thing really? That's legalism. That's the stuff. I will reward them. And we want that for you. There's such a blessing we get. I think what the reward is, there's such a blessing we get to study and know God's word. You know what he's saying? you're going to get that same blessing. You're going to be rich in the kingdom. We thank God continually for you, Paul said to the Thessalonians, when you receive the word of God. I think he said this to the church. Which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but actually as it is, the word of God, which indeed is at work in you who believe. So he said to the whole church, when we preach to you the gospel, we are so overjoyed because you received it not as a word from a human word from me, but you received it knowing it came from God. That's the faith that overjoys us. Christ has laid out the whole design here, really, and challenges of ministry until he comes. If you receive this word, beloved, know this. Peace has come on you and your household. Isn't that wonderful? And today he wants to confirm that by giving you a sign and seal of his body and his blood, that word that was spoken to you is true. And now I'm going to sign it and I'm going to seal it for you, that you might taste and see and enjoy the peace that I'm bringing to you. That's what this is for. Do you believe? Have you received the word? Then come and feast. His blood has achieved peace. Believe the word. Receive the word. And may God's peace come upon you all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your everlasting word. Thank you for taking it out to the ends of the earth. May that powerful word draw out true faith from us, sincere hearts that confess you, that know you, understand you. May this word be spoken in truth and fill your servants with great awe that you would care to send out a word that saves from the very destruction of body and soul and hell. If only we knew what's coming. May we be thankful that we've been delivered by the very blood of Christ who lived and died for us so that we may not taste that judgment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We're sure glad that you joined us in our study in Matthew chapter 10. We look forward to seeing you again next time here with Pastor Chris on Abounding Grace Radio. Learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email. That's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.